Chapter 26. There are no maps of the forest. So thick are the woods, too thick for any cartographer to measure or survey. Only a few, like Garface, know the narrow paths of deer and fox and peccaries. Just a handful know the ancient trails of the Kadoo, gone now to Oklahoma and Mexico, where the roads are easier to find. Only those who earn their keep by trapping and skinning the mink and bobcats and raccoons know of a hidden road where a single pickup truck can carry a hard-edged bitter man to an old tavern where the barkeep will offer up something hard-edged and bitter to drink in return for the skins of those forest creatures. Once a trade post for the French, there are still no electric lights, only the yellow glow of kerosene lanterns. In the dark of night, you cannot see this glow from the outside. In the light of day, the bar sits in the shadows. Only those who know it's there can see it. Garface found the tavern years ago. Night after night, he sits in the darkest corner, beyond the circle cast off by the lanterns, his hat pulled down over his face. He doesn't join the few others who know this place, the others who laugh at his broken face. Instead, he waits at his corner table and listens to their stories, stories of elusive black bear and nearly extinct panthers. And always, always stories of alligators. Now, here in this run-down tavern along a hidden road, he sips the black rum that burns as it slides down his throat and smiles. The 100-foot alligator of the Bayou Tartine swims through the thoughts as he empties his bottle. He gazes at the other hunters and knows that soon his story will best any that they can muster. Soon. Chapter 27. Ranger watched the kittens. Here they were, his Puck, his Sabine. He wasn't their father, true, but he might as well have been. He felt like their father. He did all those father things. He helped them with bass. He fussed as they got too close to the open. He told them funny stories. And what else does a bloodhound do? He sings, of course. But instead of singing the blues, Ranger made up a song just for his kittens. And every night before they went to sleep, he lifted his head and bayed every night. Like the sweet moon keeps the sky, like the wind going wishing by, when those old sunbeams break the day, I will keep you while you play. Just as old river keeps the fishes, and little stars keep silver wishes, just as the ocean keeps the blue, I will stand here close to you. When all around is dark and deep, when them old shadows slowly creep, even when you're fast asleep, it's you I'll keep, it's you I'll keep. No need to cry, no need to fear. I will always be right here. I will always be right here. Here was mostly what the kittens needed. A mother cat who fed them, a perfect place to play, and a hound who promised to watch over them. 28. Kittens also need to learn to hunt. The calico cat realized this. Here's a mouse. Here's a lizard. Here's a garter snake. One by one, she carried these home in her mouth, still alive, and set them in front of Puck and Sabine. A new game. Sabine knew just what to do. Chase the mouse, chase the lizard, and chase the garter snake. She was Sabine the ocelot, Sabine the panther, Sabine the catamount. Puck knew what to do, too. Chase Sabine. 29. Here are snakes, the brilliant green water snakes, the hognose snakes, the corals, the rattlers, the masugas, the copperheads and rat snakes, the kings and garters. Some are shy, others will chase you. Of this latter, beware the moccasin. Skin so black it looks blue, mouth so white it looks like cotton. Other snakes are known to strike in self-defense, but the moccasin, she will latch on and stay there. The moccasin's jaws are like a trap. She can snap a small branch in two, can slice an unsuspecting lizard in half, can sever a finger from your hand or take off a toe. Beware the moccasin with her cotton mouth. 30. Do not get in front of Garface and his gun. That was one of the rules. The kittens were only a few weeks old when they witnessed firsthand what might happen when something got in front of Garface and his gun. From the edge of the underneath, they watched one morning when a rat scurried across the filthy yard, littered with broken bottles and rusted cans, dried skins and old bones from animals who had trespassed. Just about then, Garface leaned against the porch trail, lifted his gun, and bam, the rat disappeared. Do not get in front of Garface and his gun. It's a good rule. Another rule, stay in the underneath. You'll be safe in the underneath. Rules bear repeating. The beasts of enchantment can don their human forms only once. Once is all. Grandmother knew this. Night Song did not. 31. It's a fact that kittens are hard to manage, and these two, growing sleek and nimble, were no different. There is also that whole thing about curiosity. Anyone who has ever known a cat knows that they are filled up with it. Bones, fur, milk, and curiosity. That is what cats are made of. One morning, while his mother and Ranger and Sabine were still sleeping and still dreaming their pre-dawn dreams, Puck wandered to the edge of the dark porch, right up to the edge of the underneath where he had spent his entire short life, curled up with Sabine, tickling Ranger's tummy. One morning he walked to that edge, that invisible boundary that separated the underneath from the open. So many times Ranger and his mother had warned them, stay in the underneath, do not go into the open. But the cat is built for exploration. All his life, Puck had stayed in the underneath. Now he gazed into the open, and the sparkling open, and he wanted to go there, wanted to walk in the soft air of the morning, wanted that wide space that beckoned him to come out, come out, come out. He walked back to Sabine and nudged her, but she just rolled over and yawned. His mother and Ranger were snoozing away. Who would ever know if he stepped out from a little bit? Just a tiny step. Just one toe into the open. His whiskers tingled. Every kitten hair stood up. His paws itched. His whiskers twitched. His whole body quivered. Soon the sun began to flicker. Morning. Here it was a perfect time to leap out from the underneath and right into the yard, into the dim light where he wasn't supposed to go, away from the shelter of the porch, from Ranger who watched him, from his mother who nursed him, from Sabine curled up tight, who was his closest friend, Sabine, his sister. He bunched himself up, his front paws right up against his back paws, and then jump, out he went. Glory, glory, the warm, dry sun bounced onto his silver fur. It sank right in. He walked farther into its golden beams. For a cat, there is only one god, and that god is the sun. And this cat, little Puck, reveled in the smooth morning rays. His mama and Ranger were wrong. The open wasn't scary at all. It was perfect. He rolled onto his back and let the sunshine settle on his tummy. One huge and satisfying yes curled all around him. He had to tell Sabine, and in one quick hop onto his tiny paws, he ran back toward the underneath, ran back to get his sister. He ran straight into the terrible hands of Garface. Yow! 32. In the underneath, the calico cat felt a sudden electric charge zip right through her. She sat up. Wrong was everywhere. She looked around, found Ranger. Wrong, found Sabine. Fur electrified. Wrong. Something was wrong. She looked again. Where was Puck? No. She heard him cry. No. She bounded to the edge of the underneath, just in time to see her baby lifted into the air by Garface. No. Lifted by the scruff of his neck, she saw his terrified face, saw the bottoms of his tiny pink paws swinging in the air. No, she cried. And then she did what any mother would do. She ran toward her baby. But with his other hand, Garface swept her up as well. Swept them both up, grabbed them both, and began to laugh. His laughter ringing through the morning. Here was laughter, hard and cruel. He carried them to his truck and stuffed them into a burlap bag and tied it with a string. And then he tossed them into the bed of the pickup and started up the engine. Ranger awoke now, fully awake, howled and tugged at his terrible chain, howled. No. Garface was cruel, but the chain was worse. The calico cat clawed. She hissed. She struggled. She had to get out of this bag that smelled of bones and fish and something ancient. But the bag held. The ratty tie was tight. She stopped her fight and held on to her kitten and cried. Puck felt dizzy, dizzy from the smell, dizzy from the pent-up air, dizzy from being swung back and forth, from the roar of the engine, the hard bed of the pickup truck. His mother drew him close. They could hear Ranger howling, hear the rumble of the motor, feel the motion of the truck as they drove away, away from Ranger and Sabine and the safety of the underneath. It lasted for a long time, the smell, the bag, and to and fro. Ranger's howl grew dim. The kitten cried. His mother licked his ears, his nose, his face, licked his tiny tail, his pinky paws. The bed of the pickup was hard and cold. At last the truck stopped, and there was a new sound. Water, said the mother cat. We must be near water. 33. Puck shivered. How could he tell his mother he was sorry? He was so sorry for breaking the rule. He should not have left the underneath and walked into the open. He should not have rolled onto his back and soaked up that gold sun. Instead, he should have stayed in the darkness, curled up next to Sabine. Where were they? How would they ever find their way back? Where was Ranger? Hadn't he promised to keep them safe? Hadn't he sung that song every single night? But the mother cat, she didn't wait to hear his sorry. She told him, I should have known better than to have you kittens in such a dangerous place. The calico cat looked hard at her beautiful baby, her boy kitten, and right there, tucked beside them in the dark burlap bag, She loved him as hard as she could, loved him so much that her heart almost burst. "You are the son I dreamed of," she told him. "I never wanted any other son but you." She licked him on the top of his head, right on the crescent moon. And even though her girl kitten was not with her, she loved her too. Held her against that big old love that comes from all mamas. So that surely Sabine knew. She'd know. She'd surely know. And her heart broke for Sabine, her girl cat. Then she gasped. They say that when someone is about to die, they can see their entire lives pass before them. And that may be true. But some, like this mother cat, can also see the future. What she saw terrified her. She looked at her pup. "You have to go back for your sister," the mama cat told him. "If something happens to me, promise you'll find her." His mother's voice was urgent. "Your sister. You have to get her away from Garface." He promised. He did. And who else did the mama cat love with all her might? Ranger, of course. Ranger with his lonely song and his silky ears. She loved him too. "The chain," she said. "Ranger's chain. You have to break. He'll die if you don't break the chain." But she didn't have time to finish. 34. A promise. Puck promised to go back for Sabine, and Ranger promised to break the chain. To a cat, a promise is sacred. His mother tucked him tightly beneath her chin so that next, when it felt like they were flying through the air, spinning. He closed his eyes and held on to his mother, spinning through the air until water all around, water that rose up to meet them and seeped through the burlap bag and pulled them down, down, down. "Swim," said his mother. She was clawing against the cloth, clawing at the small, almost opening, clawing against the ratty tie. His mouth, his nose, his ears filled up with water. "Swim," she said, pushing his little paws as fast as he could, but he was tangled up in the burlap. The water pulled him down, down, down. He was drifting, drifting, down, down, swirling, and then he felt a push, a strong push from behind. "Swim!" And he did. Somehow the burlap bag came open. He could see the light above him, see it change, and see the wavy air shimmering through the surface of the water. He could feel his mother right behind him, just behind him, right there, feel her pushing him up, up, up. He just knew she was right behind him, right there. Knew it. He could feel her. He could hear her. "Swim!" Which he did as hard as he could in the cold, cold water of the creek. He couldn't see the loose string of the burlap, the single strand that wrapped itself around her paw. Couldn't see it hold her, caught in the old mussel bag at the bottom of the deep creek. All he could hear was "swim," and Puck swam away, and his mother, with his mother's voice in his ear, "Swim!" 35. As the mother cat's lungs filled with water, as she slipped into darkness, she heard a small voice. "Sister," it whispered, "your baby is safe." Startled, the mama cat opened her eyes and looked back and caught her breath for just a moment and saw the radiant sun slipping through the branches of the trees. Ah, such warmth! Then she looked again, a hummingbird. "He's safe," said the tiny bird. "Yes," replied the mother cat. She could see that. Her baby was safe. But while she gazed and while she felt the soft glow of the sun, she also caught a glimpse of Ranger and the tiny sister left behind, curled up together in the cold darkness beneath the porch, in the underneath. "Come," said the bird, "follow me." But, as it is for any mother, she longed to go back. go back to those so sorry she was to leave them. How could she leave them? How could she bear to leave the simple song of such a hound, the tiny purrs of such a kitten? Worry washed over her like a wave. She had to warn them. How could she warn them? You can't go back, whispered the hummingbird. I know, she sighed. She looked once more at Puck. What has she done to put such a large promise on such a small cat? Remorse filled her up. Oh dear, she cried. She did not hear the rumbling of the engine as the man drove back to the tilting house. Did not hear the hideous laughter slipping through the pickup's window, and did not hear the soft sighing of the trees, only the whispery wings of the tiny bird. Well, that was sad, but I think Puck's gonna keep his promise. Night, girls. Love you.